Anyway, Judges chapter 19. Now, just so I don't ease you into anything, we get right to the point here. All right? Be like I never left. You ready? All right, the title of this message is God Hates Gay Rights and Destroys Nations for Them. Yeah. All right, Judges chapter 19, verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days, when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite sojourning in the side of Mount Ephraim, who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. And his concubine played the whore against him and went away from him unto her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months. Now, let's just skip down to verse number 22 here. Now, as they were making... Now, first of all, what happened was this concubine, she takes off and she plays the whore. She becomes a harlot and she runs around on her husband. And then he finds her and he goes to look for her and he sits and her father keeps him at his house drinking and keeping him there for as long as he could. So because I think he knew his daughter was going to get killed, okay? As soon as she left, I think he knew the crime for that was burning them, you know, for being a harlot or whatever. But anyway, so he let her go so they let him go. And then in verse number 22, they leave and they take off and they go to this city in the Benjamites' territory here. They go in the tribe of Benjamin. They go to this city. And in this city, there are these wicked men. So we're going to pick up where these wicked men are and what happens here. And I'm going to show you what God thinks about gay rights, because God absolutely hates gay rights. All right. I'm going to show you that here and in Sodom and a few other places here, what God really thinks about gay rights. By the way, God hasn't changed any. I want you to understand that. He's still the same. I know, and I'm going to talk about the Supreme Court abomination, the next service. That's the next one. It's called the Supreme Court abomination. Yeah, amen. All right. About the gay mafia there. Anyway, verse number, Judges chapter 19, verse number 22. Now, as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door. By the way, you know what's interesting? You don't ever see anybody called a child of God that's a sodomite, do you? You don't ever see that. You see sons of Belial, you see some wicked men, you see the wicked men of Sodom, but you never hear about a son of God being a sodomite, do you? Why is that? Because there's no such thing. That's why. Amen. There's no such thing as a saved sodomite. No such thing. There's such thing as a repentant one. One that gets born again, but he's no longer a sodomite. He's born again by the Spirit of God. He's a new creature. Amen?
Amen.
If you haven't listened to that sermon yet that I preached on Wednesday night, you need to listen to it. Okay? It's called Dark World Rising.
Amen.
You need to listen to that sermon. In fact, Aaron, I've got video for Aaron. I don't know where he went. He probably walked away for a minute. There's a video that I put on there. It's on YouTube, or it's not on YouTube yet, but I do have the video. We're going to upload that to YouTube as well because Eric Frank recorded it for us. But in that, I talk about how darkness is rising, how deception is rising. And you got a world that's absolutely deceived where you've got to be clear and straightforward with preaching. You have to be, and you cannot move on it. Except forward. Now, these sons of Belial beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house that we may know him. What is that? It's talking about homosexuality. That's how they want to know him. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into mine house, do not this folly. Well, there's some interesting words for you to study. Go, when you get home, study the word folly, study the word lewd and folly, and you'll find a lot of things. You'll also find the connection to the fallen sons of God and the daughters of men, because when you study that word folly, you understand those angels, God charged those angels with folly. That was their charge. Then study what folly is and look at it. You'll see. I know there's some people out there, good brethren, but they like to do some mental gymnastics around those things, but you really can't when you study it word for word. There is no way. But I've heard all their excuses, but they just don't add up. They're not very good. And then they don't explain to where the giants came from either. But anyway, that was free. It won't cost you anything. All right, let's keep moving. So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city. Now turn to Judges chapter 20 here. I'm trying to set this up for you so you understand it. For sake of time, I'm not reading both chapters here, every verse in both chapters. You can read it again, but if you've read through your Bible, you ought to be familiar with this. Amen? Judges chapter 20, verse number 11. So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. So they were all in one man, one accord. They were ready. They were going to go judge this, okay? And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribes of Benjamin, saying, what wickedness is this that is done among you? What's going on there? Whoa, what's the big deal? Well, if you talk to Matthew Vine and men like that today, they're supposed to be homosexual apologists. They'll give you a different answer, not the one that God said. But every time you see the homosexuality in the Bible, what do you see? Judgment of God. Swift judgment of God upon it. Now, therefore, deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. Why? Well, because they were practicing gay rites. Don't you see? See, they were practicing gay rites. They said, no, these guys have a right to do what they're doing. They have a right to do what they're doing here. We're not going to stop them. We're not going to give them up to you. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. Let's pray. Father, help us now, Lord, we pray. Give us understanding here. Show us, Lord. From the scriptures, Lord, Holy Ghost, please open our hearts, open our ears to the truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we see that there are a few accounts of God's judgment upon a nation that gives gay rights to people. Folks, I'm telling you, we don't even understand what's coming. I've got another sermon I'm going to cover on it, so I don't want to overlap it too much, but I'm going to tell you, we don't understand the judgment that's coming to this nation. We just have no clue. But I'm going to show you a little bit of it here and in the next hour. Number one, the downfall of a nation doesn't start with gay rights, though. It never started with that. You'll notice that Israel did not start having a problem with gay rights. That didn't start the nation's woes, did it? But it was a symptom of a greater problem. What was that? Well, turn to Judges chapter 19, verse number 1, as you were in there. And it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel. What does that mean? There's no rule of law they were following. You know, don't get too confused. Again, let me say this to you. When you go through the book of Judges, don't get too confused about what's going on there. You just remember that God didn't put his stamp of approval on everything that was done in the book of Judges. In fact, he made you understand over and over again, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So when you see Japheth, when you see all these other men doing these crazy things, and all this, that doesn't mean God approved of any of that. God never says, follow this. No, God gave his law. Where? He gave the law to Moses. They knew what they were supposed to follow. God didn't say, follow this example of Judges. Let's go out and burn our daughters. Let's do that. No, what happened? They did that which was right in their own eyes. That's why. Just like America today, what are we seeing? No rule of law. We're losing the rule of law. You mark my words, the law keepers are going to be the ones that are persecuted. And the lawless ones are going to be exalted like we're seeing today. That's the way it's going to go. What does it say here, though? We have a bigger problem here. It first started with fornication, didn't it? Judges 19:2, and his concubine played the whore against him and went away from him under her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months. Lewdness and folly was committed in Israel. That's what the problem was. We see that lewdness and folly, that fornication. Listen, folks, America didn't turn this way overnight. No. Like Ezekiel chapter 16, verse number 49 says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister, Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. So we see that the problem with Sodom was what? Pride. Now, this is such a timely thing to say, isn't it? We just spent a day July 4th, right? And oh my, do we have a bunch of pride. We have a bunch of pride in America, right? So they sing that song, I'm proud to be an American, right? That plays everywhere. Proud to be an American, proud to be an American. Folks, it's all started in America with pride. That's the sin that turned an angel to a devil. Turn you into a devil too. Pride. This nation is very proud. So why is it wrong in the eyes of most people just to add gay pride to that? You got white pride, you got Indian pride, you got black pride, you got all kinds of pride. Brown pride, Christian pride, yeah, no such thing, right? Right. What's that? Pilgrim's pride. I don't know what that is. Is that bread or something? What is that?
Turkey.
Oh, it's turkey. I'm sorry. Don't get Lee started. Please don't talk about food this early. I got a lot to do here. So we see in America the same problem that was in Israel and Sodom. Pride. Pride that we can defy the living God and make laws up that are contrary to the Bible and expect that God will bless America. You know what? You're saying the wrong thing. And we have a lot of audacity to cry out, God bless America. No, we should be crying out, God have mercy on America.
Amen.
Have mercy on America. Not God bless America, because we don't deserve a blessing at all. We need some mercy. We need some mercy. You know, Obama's words to the gay couple that were on the lawsuit, the Supreme Court heard after they got that victory, you know what he said? Was, God bless you, I'm proud of you. That's what he said to that couple. He said, God bless you, I'm proud of you. He said, your fight will change America and impact this nation forever. Well, you're not kidding, it is. You're not lying about that. What a devil. Not lying about that, is he? Wicked. He was right. He's bringing the judgment of God down upon this nation. But by the way, I want you to understand something. You need to quit blaming him for it. Because this country is a direct reflection of the weak, limp-wristed, false, fake, phony, antichrist churches that are here. Ones that won't stand up and tell the truth. Ones that want to, they want to smooth things over. They don't want to cause any ripples. They don't want to cause any problems. They don't want anybody to be offended by it. Yeah, well, it's too late about being offended, folks. It's too dark outside now. These people know no shame anymore. They can't blush. They're not shamed. Where did it start in America? We see in America that we're bombarded with this deviancy everywhere. Think about this. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, in the year 2007, 35% of U.S. high school students were currently active, sexually active, and 47.8% of U.S. high school students reported having been intimate. This percentage has decreased slightly since 1991. Well, that's because they're aborting most of them now. So, don't let it fool you. That's why it's decreasing, because they're aborting them. They're killing them. The activity hasn't changed. What's my point? Teenage pregnancy is four times as prevalent in the United States as in the European Union. However, they say U.S. teen pregnancy rates have been steadily declining for decades, according to the Centers for Disease Control. What's the point? 35%? So you're looking at a number between 35 and 50% of children going through grade, middle school and high school are losing their purity. So, you know, when those homosexuals, you know, they start pointing a finger at you and the church and the and people. Why? Because you don't see a difference between the world and the church. That's why. That's why. So we already have an atmosphere of evil. And it's going on in the church as well as the world. As the church goes, so goes the nation. You know, if we are the light of the world, if you're not shining, there's not much light out there.
Amen.
If we are that light, if we're supposed to be the light of the world, and we're not shining, how dark is that darkness, right? Christians have accepted shacking up and premarital fornication long before they accepted the homosexual agenda.
Amen.
It was commonplace, even in Baptist churches now. Especially in Baptist churches now, there's people that come in here, well, we don't want to turn anybody away. They're coming to church and they're fornicating. They're not even married.
Right.
What I want to know is, why do they feel comfortable in your church, preacher?
Right. Amen. Right.
Why do fornicators feel comfortable in your church? This gets me in trouble talking about, because some people don't like it when I talk about fornication and stuff like that. They don't like that.
Preach it. Amen.
It makes me want to preach it harder when I, because I know it's a problem.
Amen.
Somebody said, you must have a problem. The whole stinking world has a problem.
Right.
That's why God put it all over his book. That's why he warned against it all over the place. Read 1 Corinthians 7. What does he warn of us? First thing he warns about. Why? Because it's a problem. And it's a problem that starts in the mind and the heart. So what we see here is we see an atmosphere of evil going on here. Yeah, God hates gay rights. You better believe he does. But you know what? He hated everything that leads up to it too. Fornication of that made an atmosphere of comfortableness for it. It made an atmosphere of it to be comfortable. Folks, what do you think all the pornography and everything's about? It's to make you comfortable with sin. So then you watch movies on television or shows on television that are showing nudity now, and those are all in front of your face. Why? So you accept evil. That's why. Women run around in bikinis and everything else. You accept that evil. That's why you're accepting it then. And you can't stand before your enemies. Can't. Why? Because you've already accepted evil. You've already accepted it and you're okay with it. And you've been dumbed down to it. And you like it now. And it's okay to do. So we have a culture, we have an America now that's okay with sin. It's absolutely okay with it. And we have churches now that are okay with sin. I don't want you to think you're mean. Well, I want you to think I'm mean. I want you to think I'm some mean man with a big old stick called law. You know why? Because the law, what does the Bible say about the law? That's right. Bring you to Christ, right? You think these wicked sinners are going to come to Christ any other way without getting smacked with that ruler? Huh? Doesn't work that way, does it? What do we have in this country, though? We've got churches that don't want to do this. So you cause the atmosphere with all your compromise and all your comfortable words and not wanting to say anything, not wanting to say the tough thing. And then people out there don't want to support preachers that want to say the tough thing. Why? Because they love their sin. I'm going to tell you that right now. You don't like this preaching, some of you, because you love sin. And this preaching doesn't give you anywhere to hide. See, it's called biblical preaching. You're forced to make a decision. I'm either going to be a dirty, rotten, wicked devil, or I'm going to repent and be a child of God.
Amen.
I'm getting a little fired up, brother.
Come on.
I miss being home. I feel better yelling in here than I did in somebody's house. I don't know. Yeah. But this man had a concubine, didn't he? And these Benjamites were already deviants. They're already wicked. You can already tell the wickedness was already accepted in the land. Just like America. It was prime. Are you surprised by this decision? I wasn't surprised. Although I felt like all hell broke loose as soon as we pulled out of the driveway. Because all this stuff started happening right away. We're rolling down the road and I'm seeing Supreme Court this and this and this. And all these decisions are coming out and all this weird. And three doctors are dying and three doctors were murdered. Did you see that, Brother Nate? Those three doctors that were murdered. One that stood up against vaccines. Get myself in trouble here. One that stood up against vaccines and gave information about vaccines. Yeah, it just so happens that this doctor, he's a doctor, okay? And he was found in the river with a gunshot wound to his chest. And they found the handgun floating in the water. Yeah, I mean, you're just going to find the handgun. Yep, sure. Sounds reasonable. And hey, it sounds reasonable for a doctor that has access to drugs that can take three little pills and go to sleep for the rest of his life. You know, to be dead, he can go to sleep. Okay, I'm done. I'm going to go to sleep. Right? And he was a pastor, by the way. He was a pastor. And his research was used to prove these vaccines are not safe. But they end up what? Listen, I'm going to tell you, I don't have time to stay on this, but I got to say this. You got to quit looking at doctors and you got to quit looking at the government like they're God. You have got to stop doing it. They don't want to keep, the only way they want to keep you alive is to make money off you and pump you full of drugs. All right. The health wise, they don't care about your health. OK, I'm gonna tell you that right now. They'll give you a drug anytime they want to and they'll make you go to Lululand. Let me tell you, I wish people would understand that. You got to start trusting the Lord more. You got to start reading this book and you got to start finding out what God made out there. That's what you got to start looking at. Because times are getting rough. All right. Next. That was free. Number two, God showed his hate for gay rights. God destroys nations for gay rights. There is a natural judgment that comes from gay rights. We see that the depopulation of a nation will come from that. Your productive people in society will know that. Look at abortion. Look how many people we have murdered in abortion. Look at many people. Depopulation is very popular. How can a nation prosper and continue and bring when they bring no fruit of children? How can you do that? You see, it's simple science. It really is very simple. He made them male and female. And he made them that for a reason. And that's the only way you get babies. So I guess you can't continue without that. I know that's very simple. I'm not a scholar. I don't have a degree. But that's very. But anybody that's ever visited a farm can understand this. Okay? Plain and simple. What does the Bible say? Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Well, doesn't it kind of scare you that you can go to the average, by the way, you can go to the average church today, and I just listened to a few of them. I had Brother Russ listen to a sermon, and Brother Eric listened to a sermon that it was torture, they said. It was absolutely torture. They listened to it, and what don't you hear? You never hear preaching on sin. But if righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, why aren't you preaching against sin? See, God made it so simple you should understand it. Amen? God made it so simple you can understand it. But we have a wicked nation, and righteousness exalted America for a long time. Because of the godly seed that was here, and the people that were here, and the fact that they loved God's word. I know there were Masons. I know there were Jesuits. I understand all that. But God defies all of them.
Amen. That's right.
And we're living proof in this room that God defies all of them. See, what you got to understand is God can take a heathen and he can use him for his glory. See, I don't understand that. Well, you got to start studying the Bible more because God can. Read the Bible. God take a heathen king. He took heathen kings and they funded the temple. Hey, there's heathens that can give money to God's people and fund them too. Say, you believe in soliciting from them? No, I don't. But if God has him do something, who am I to argue with him? I'm not God. I can't tell him what to do. God used a lot of people to feed his people and to take care of them. Which, by the way, ought to make you understand that God can protect you through any tribulation, through any trial, through any fiery furnace. Amen? That's right. But this nation, like many before, has gone the way of the wicked one and has accepted evil and sin. Look at Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 20, please. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward. And take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Think about that. What do we have today? The same exact thing. Them that call evil good and good evil. You're the haters, right? You're the ones that hate people, right? But brother, I don't remember the last time we took spray paint and spray painted somebody's back, do we, brother Paul? I don't remember us doing that. I don't remember the last time we spit on people. I don't remember the last time I don't remember us doing any of that. You have to ask yourself, who are the real haters? Therefore the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff. So their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. This is what we have today in America, and that's what you see in that tribe of Benjamin right there. You see the same exact thing. This is a recipe for reprobation. This is a recipe for disaster, is what it is. You want to destroy this country, you're doing it, and that ruling just kind of put the fork in it. But all it did is show a true reflection of what this country really is. Kind of pulled the mask off it and show you. I'm so tired of people saying, well, it's only a couple percent. No, it isn't. See, it's 2% of people are homosexuals. I don't know if that number is true or not, okay? I think there's more than that out there. At least there's more of that in Minneapolis. I know that for sure. But what happened? Well, it's not just those 2%. How about the 50 to 75% of church professing Christians that are living in sin and wickedness and that aren't any different than the world? This is what led to gay rights in America. I'm so tired of you blaming politicians and everybody else. Man, they've always been bums. They've always been liars. They've always been thieves. They've always been that way. Whose fault is it? Get a mirror. You know, I learned a long time ago one thing. If it ain't your fault, you can't fix it. I had a boss that told me I was very young. I was 19 years old, and I was at a division manager meeting, a future division manager's meeting. He took me, and he said, listen, it better be your fault. I said, why is that? He said, because if it's not your fault, you can't fix it. I'm going to fire you. But if it's your fault, you can fix it. You can take control of it. Think about that. So that when I look at my wife or my friend or this person or my church or this person, I got to look at myself first and say, you know what? It's my fault. I got to fix it. Amen? I got to take care of it. We don't want to do that. We just want to point at the queers and be like, yeah, well, it's them. Now, how'd we get there? Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. That's how we got there. Left the law of the Lord. Called darkness light and light darkness, and good evil and evil good, right? You know, I know this nation is not Israel, but the principles are the same. These are the examples of gay rights. Look at the Benjamites who defended the Sodomites in Judges chapter 20, verse number 1. Then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man from Dan even to Beersheba in the land of Gilead under the Lord in Mizpah. And the chief of all the people, even of all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen that drew sword. They're getting ready for war against their own people. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were gone up to Mizpah. Then said the children of Israel, tell us, how was this wickedness? They said, what happened? They asked the Benjamites, what happened? I mean, here's this guy that comes back and he cuts his concubine up in 12 pieces. By the way, which God did not condone or anything, so I'm not saying I understand that. Remember, every man did that which is right in his own eyes. All right? So he chops his concubine up in 12 pieces and sends a piece to every tribe of Israel, to the head of every tribe of Israel. How'd you like to be the delivery guy that was delivering that? Now that's some mail, Louise, right there. Right? How'd you like to deliver that mail? Right? So what happened? That's what they asked. What's going on here? Then he told them the story, what took place. And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered and said, I came to Gibeah, into Gibeah that belongeth to Benjamin, I and my concubine to lodge. And the men of Gibeah rose against me and beset the house round about me by night and thought to have slain me and my concubine, that they forced that she is dead. By the way, let me just say this as discreetly as I can, okay? They did to her what they wanted to do to him. You understand? You have people without natural affection. Animals, almost. Bible calls them brute beasts. They did what they were going to do to him, to her. And destroyed her. Basically, until her entrails came out. Basically, until her body was destroyed. And the tribes of Israel sent men throughout all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, What wickedness is this that is done among you? They said, what's going on here? What wickedness have you done? Now, therefore, deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death. By the way, there's your connection, too, again, to the occultism and homosexuality. Remember that sermon I did on the occultism of homosexuality, how it's tied to the occult? There you go. They were men of Belial. And put away evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, to the children of Israel. What did they want to do? Listen to me. They would destroy the nation and go to war before they would give up on gay rights. That's what you have there. You have people that would rather, they would rather save the gay rights and allow the homosexuals to do what they're doing than to stop a war. Then the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities into Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities, 26,000 men that drew sword beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. The Benjamites said, it's okay to be gay. Right? They have rights in the tribe of Benjamin. So we'll accept their rights here and we will war against our brethren to defend their rights. By the way, I'm not advocating killing homosexuals, okay? I understand. But God is the one that did this. That was God's law for the tribe of Israel. I'm simply showing you the principles of what God said. That God hates it. God hates gay rights. You know, it's interesting. This week, I was looking, and there's a young lady from Rosemont. Did you see that thread at all? This young lady from Rosemont had a blog on there about how everything she learned, you know, she's glad she got out of the IFB movement and everything because she learned that, that we just, what's the big deal about homosexual marriage? This is somebody that I watched just a few months ago sing songs on the stage, if it was even a month ago, you know, sing songs on the stage in the church. And now she says, I don't know what these people, what's so big, is it pride? Is that, she actually said, is it pride that you won't admit that you were wrong about homosexual marriage? So you see, this is somebody that I watched as a 12-year-old girl. I watched her grow up. What do we see now? She's for gay rights. That's what happens, folks, when you don't preach against sin. That's what happens when you compromise. You don't preach against sin. You don't call things out. By the way, about 7 years ago, that church was supposed to call out a bunch of fornication. Didn't do that either. I know, but they think Pastor Cooley's too hard on stuff. I was told by somebody that went there, oh, well, Pastor Cooley just follows it a little more rigid than I do. He's a little more stricter than I am on things. No, God's a little bit more stricter than all of us are on things. Right. Amen? Right. By the way, God's not surprised or scared of the Supreme Court's decision. He'll deal with it the same way he dealt with Israel's rebellion. Same way. He'll destroy this nation. Right. By the way, that's a warning from God. We need more preachers to get out in the street and warn these people that God's going to destroy this nation.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
He'll destroy this nation. He'll bring an army up among its own people. He'll allow the civil unrest to destroy us. He'll allow race wars to destroy us, the famine, the pestilence, whatever it takes. Or he'll bring an army from another land to destroy us, but he will destroy us for this sin. I'm sorry, America's not going to get away with this. No nation ever in history, no empire ever in history got away with homosexuality. None. They all fell to it. The Greeks, the Romans, all of them, they fell to it. And America's no different. We just should have learned better from our history, that's all. Judges chapter 20, verse number 18 says, and the children of Israel rose and went up to the house of God. Now they want to go war. Now the children of Israel are going to war against Benjamin. They're going to war against him. And the children of Israel rose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. And the children of Israel rose up in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to the battle against Benjamin, and the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. Benjamin killed 22,000 Israelites. Say, why is that? Well, you may try to fight against it, but you know what? Even the churches have not been righteous before God. Just like Israel was not righteous before God. But you expect to get the victory over your enemies when Israel was full of adultery and idolatry. They were absolutely full of sin. You think God isn't going to let them go through some things and cause some problems there and allow them to go through some things and lose some men and death because of their sin? Well, of course he's going to. You may be righteous in your cause, but you may not have been righteous. You know, I see a lot of righteous indignation, you can call it, and some anger about it, about the homosexuality and the decision. But you know what? I look at those same people, I'm like, well, how's your living, though? Are you abstaining from all appearance of evil? Are you supporting Hollywood and network television and all those things and the music industry? If you're supporting all those, you are supporting the sodomite agenda. So you're kind of a hypocrite. Because you've been watching on television so long, you've been watching shows that had homosexuals and all those other things. You're watching all those things, but then you get a little righteous indignant when it's put in front of your face and saying, now they're going to marry right in front of you. Well, you should have quit laughing at them 30 years ago when they had them on TV.
Right?
But you didn't, did you? It's the same thing with Israel. God hates gay rights. But even the churches have not been righteous before God, but have been full of sin. And God allowed Israel to suffer some death and loss because they forsook the Lord their God. And even though they went after the gay rights people, they were still guilty before God for sin in Israel. So it is today in the churches. Churches full of sin and fornication, idolatry, and they cannot stand before their enemies and they lose. By the way, what's coming to this nation and the Christians in it for their compromise is going to be devastating. Judges chapter 20, verse number 26, and all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came unto the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. You want victory over the homosexual mafia of madmen? Then you better weep and pray and fast before the Lord. Amen? By the way, we're going to have one Sunday afternoon every month that we're going to, just for prayer. Okay? We're just going to have prayer time. We're going to come together, we're going to pray. Amen? And in that third service, we're going to pray. We're just going to get together and we're going to pray because we need to. Amen? And we're also going to have some times of fasting this year too as well. You know, where we come together as a church and we fast for certain things. Because it's important. Now, obviously, you know, that's up to your family, you know, what you decide to do, the father and everything, what you guys decide to do in your family. But the point is that these come not out but by prayer and fasting. You want to see the power of God, we're going to have some prayer, we're going to have some fasting. Amen. There's no hope in politics, but there is hope in Christ.
Amen.
God showed his utter hate for those that hold the gay rights. You see, but that was just because they wanted to rape those men, but not monogamy. By the way, there's no such thing as monogamy in Queerville. You understand that? By the way, the Bible never shows us a monogamous relationship with homosexuals. It only shows us that sodomites have a desire to rape men. Look at God's judgment on Sodom. There were gay rights in Sodom. Genesis chapter 19. Turn there, please. I'm almost done here, actually. Genesis chapter 19. I promise I won't do three closes like Brother Russ does. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young. Look at that. When you let sodomy reign, everybody's perverted. Both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them unto us that we may know them. What happened? Well, I'm going to tell you something. These perverts are attracted to purity. They're absolutely attracted to purity. And they want to defile it, and they want to destroy it. That's what they want to do. That's why they're pushing their agenda. Why do you think they run around naked? Why do you think they parade their nakedness and their nudity at events? Why do they do that? Because they want to defile purity. They want to defile children. They're perverts that are devil-possessed. It's not very popular to say, Pastor Cooley. I know, that's why I said it. Because God already illustrated it and showed us. That's right, it's from the pits of hell. It's exactly what it is. It appears the Bible shows us, though, that sodomites like raping the innocent and stealing their purity. Sodomites are rapers and recruiters. That's what they are. I don't like that. That's not very comfortable. I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to warn you. I stand upon the authority of the Scripture when I say this. And I adjure thee by the living God to show me otherwise in his word that they're anything else. I don't care about your scientific studies. I don't care about anything else. Right here, the word of God. You show me in the word of God. The only example we have is there are a bunch of perverts, a bunch of raging, raving perverts that go around and try to steal the purity of people. Whether they can defile your eyes or your body, that's what they want to do to your children and to you. And there's still a few men left around in America to say it. But that restraining power of the Holy Ghost is lifting. You're seeing it. You seen a boldness the other day when you guys went to that sodomite event. I bet you one thing, we saw boldness just of them in general. When that happened, there's this boldness that they have now. That they've been given. Why? Because lawlessness, because the law has stamped its approval on their activities. The Bible says righteous has exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And we now have in America accepted this sin. But you say, well, I'm against it. Like I said, what are you watching on television? What are you watching on movies? What are you filling your heart with? Are you supporting their CCM, their contemporary Christian music? It's full of homosexuals. By the way, sodomite defenders suffer the vengeance of God. Turn to Jude, please. Verse number 6. I won't do another close, Brother Russ. I'm going to hold off on it. I can do one more, though, but I can't do three. So it's all right. I hope you came to hear something and not to leave. What's that? Amen. Like I said, I hope you came to hear something, not to leave. Amen. We come to be here all day, not to go anywhere. So, Jude, and verse number 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate have left their own habitation, hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. This is how I can't figure out why people don't get this with Genesis 6. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, talking about the angels that left their... How do you not get... You have to be doing this on purpose. You have to have another agenda. Right. I'm sorry, but you have to have another agenda. Because this is so plain and simple. You can't even get around this. He just said, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. You have to be intellectually dishonest to say different. Because he's talking about these angels here. I know I'm not preaching on that directly. But he says, and the angels who kept not their first estate. What were they like? Even as Sodom and Gomorrah. About them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. Well, who left their own habitation? Those Genesis 6 angels, those sons of God. And what did they do? They went after strange flesh. They committed fornication. It's not hard to understand. There's a lot of people that don't want to listen to that. I don't like that. It's scary. It's the Bible. It's full of scary stuff. Get over it. Right? It's full of scary stuff. Grow up. Put your big boy pants on and listen. Listen, people that won't listen to this particular portion of this, when you try to talk about that, they'll just block their, they won't listen to it. Oh, I can't hear that. Why? It's weird. Well, sure, it's weird. The devil's weird. I mean, come on. Anyway, what does it say here, though? And going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. That, by the way, for all those hell deniers, that says eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Sodomites. Filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beast. In those things, they corrupt themselves. They're like brute beasts. Right? No understanding. No reasoning or understanding. Only the law and the light of the gospel can save them from their course set for hell. But many, sadly, have gone too far. Most will die reprobate, but some can be saved. But listen, God hates gay rights. You have the right to go to hell. That's what you have the right to do. Everywhere you see sodomites accepted, you see destruction and death in the Bible. You never see life and peace or acceptance or love. It's not love to rape someone. That's not love. It's not love to put someone in the hospital and destroy their bodies through wicked satanic lust. Or satanic lust, Russ. Rudy always says satanic. They all say satanic. I don't know what. You're funny, Paul. Anyway, most of you don't know what I'm talking about. Sorry. It's not love to have over 500 partners and act like a rabid dog in heat all the time. That's not love. That's not love. They say love wins. That's what they said after this ruling. Love wins. That's not love, you sick pervert. God defines what love is. Oh, you shouldn't call them that. What do you want me to call them? A saint? An abomination, right? God calls them perverted, by the way. They're perverse. Brute beast. But they better repent before it's too late because God hates gay rights. By the way, these nations, they harbored those homosexuals and God destroyed them. God destroyed the Benjamites. Look, Judges chapter 20, verse 47. But 600 men turned and fled to the wilderness under the rock of Rimmon and abode in the rock of Rimmon 4 months. And the men of Israel turned again upon the children of Benjamin and smote them with the edge of the sword, as well the men of every city as the beast and all that came to hand. And they set on fire all the cities that came to it. There's a second time you see fire used to judge this sin. And God is coming back again. And he's going to use fire to burn this world with fervent heat. Because it's defiling and wicked. You know, this judgment was so great, by the way. They harbored those homosexuals, right? I find it ironic in Judges chapter 21, verse number 7, that we see, how shall we do for wives for them that remain? So remember, they harbored homosexuals. God had all their wives gone. They couldn't procreate. Do you understand that? Do you get that? That's the sin of the sodomite there. He's giving them the same judgment. You won't be able to continue. So God had mercy on them after he destroyed them. He had mercy on them, and they had to give some wives up to it from a portion of the tribe of Jabesh-Gilead that did not go with them to battle. But you understand that don't you find it ironic that God allowed that to happen? They didn't have any, they couldn't even continue as a society. That's a curse of the sodomite right there. That's a curse of going against God's order. Remember Lot's wife? She turned back to look at Sodom. Right? She turned back, didn't she? What happened to her? She perished. I believe she went to hell. I don't believe any of Lot's family was saved but Lot. And God had to drag him out of Sodom. Literally, took him by the hand and dragged him out of Sodom. Why? Because when Sodom gets in your heart, you're in a lot of trouble. And that's what happened. See, Sodom was in his family's heart, and they perished. And I'm going to tell you, this nation is full of that sodomy of the heart, that wicked fornication, that wicked rebellion against God. God hates gay rights, and he destroys nations for them. And all these proud people, all these pride people, they think they've done something wonderful. And all they've did is sink this nation. That's all. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this truth. And Lord, we just pray you'd bless the food to our bodies and the fellowship that we have together. Thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.